realise that was something that you two kind of did on Eatover.
Yeah, Foucault was...
This with bombs.
Foucault's... Vanina was doing the tight wire in Taboo. Mm. Foucault's her husband. Mm. When he was visiting, he'd come and train a bit of pole and he was chatting to me and he said, I just love what you do with shade. I think it's beautiful. And I went, I'd like to do it with you. He went, I don't do pole. I do hoop. I went, no, on your pole. He went, how would you fly the pole? And I started explaining my ideas of landing it and flying it and tipping it. And I said, look, I'll take the pole down, I'll rig it. You go and get your training clothes on, we'll do it. And he went, but this will take forever. This is going to take months. You have to get one made. I went, no, it'll take me 10 minutes. And I did. I just took the Chinese pole down from the set and hung it up. And we played around on it. And he was great. He was just absolutely amazed. He didn't realise that you could work that fast. Mm. But that's something about British circuses. We don't have the funding. And I think now that some shows do get the funding, it doesn't really help. I think there's an energy to just doing it yourself. What No Fit State did originally when they started out, it's like, fuck you. We can just do it anyway.
Mm. Put 5 dry rows together and... bought petrol and lentils and off they went.
Yeah, and if you aren't hungry, you're not gonna make good work, because what Ali said is like my total inspiration. It's like, it's amazing how good a performer you get to be, whereas if the audience don't like your show, you don't get to get dinner.
Mm.
And I just think I could go off on massive long tangents about why people make shows, but I think people make shows mostly nowadays out of fear. They're scared of their contemporaries. You know, we're here in the Big Top, the biggest circus venue in the world, the most amazing acts, probably the best year's ever been. And the performers are all terrified because they're surrounded by other amazing performers. And then the audience is full of amazing performers. And they're going, oh yeah, but it's really hard, high pressure here. It's like, it's not. Briefs shat themselves and they're like the biggest they're really upset it's like because they're not going, I'm here to entertain the audience and I'm selling tickets and this is how I earn my living, and the audience buy a ticket because it's worth coming, they want to be entertained. They're judging by all the wrong standards. So it's like, it's just really nice to just get a bunch of people who really want to make a show to make a show, and we all shared out the money equally, everyone got paid the same. Not if you think the amount of workload that some people did compared to others, but you know, that's circus, that's group politics. And I just think if someone's really good at what they do and they love it and they're doing their best and they're not being asked by a director to do it in a stupid dress or in a funny accent or to strange music or in high heels or, you know, directors trying to make their mark on someone else's work. If people direct their own work, then you get something with a bit of integrity. And that's why we got the first full standing ovation the Big Top's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing compared to what Circus Kathmandu got. But they were just totally a level above everything that's ever been before. But it's, you know... And yeah, it was terrifying for us because every single circus show got rained off, so they all came to the only venue with a roof. Not because they heard we were brilliant, no one knew if we'd been again.
Yeah. Set you off on a good foot.
Yeah, so we did that. We did Circus Futures, which was a showcase in Bristol later that year, in November. Barnes put up loads of tent canvases inside a massive warehouse in Bristol. And it became one of the venues for Circus Futures, and it was freezing cold, and we did Flown with all these delegates watching with rods over their knees. And,
bye-bye, Tigey!
Afterwards, we all were really excited and kind of thought, okay, great, so let's, you know, call everyone. Let's call the Man from the Arts Council. Let's call people. We were really kind of a bit disappointed by the reaction, which was, oh, well, you know, you need lighting and you need a director and it's quite a big show and la, 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 la. It was very rough around the edges. But I spoke to Rachel Clare from Crying Out Loud and she was great. She gave us really good critical feedback and basically recommended us to a couple of theatres. And produced print for us. And we took the show, did a mini tour, got a bit of arts council funding, took the show to three places. And none of those bookers had seen the show, they just had her recommendation. So that kind of set us on a path, really. And then the following year we did a full tour with Crying Out Loud, booking it. Went to Edinburgh, won the Total Theatre Award. Did more in 2014. We toured as part of this thing called Circus Evolution, which was about taking circus to new audiences in the UK, and sold out in 6 out of the 10 venues. And then most of our bookings since then have come through Edinburgh. And we're going to Australia in September.
And so I'm sitting in your home.
Yeah.
Just describe that very briefly, because, you know, it's a traditional little scene going on here.
When we realised we were leaving, and I'd worked with you guys for about 10 years, we toured for 7. I just turned around to Shane at one point and went, we're going to have to buy a truck or we can't leave. Because I had 2 industrial sewing machines. I had, by the time I created it all up, I think I had 7 boxes of rigging, which mostly took 2 people to lift.
Thanks
4 marquees.
Right on. Your time.
All right, mate. You take it easy. Yeah, 4 marquees, and my truck had already died by that point. Killed by the circus.
We're touring in my truck with Barnes's massive.
It was easy
Roman
to kill it. It was 50 years old.
It was off dead when it arrived.
It did really well until we put that trailer on the back, and then it just.
Which trailer did you have on the back?
The fuel Bowser.
Lovely.
Paddy didn't like me, so he filled it up to the brim. So I had a full fill. So rather than get it delivered to site empty and fill it up, he had it filled up before we left. So I had an extra 2.5 ton of weight to carry in it. Yeah. The gearbox went.
Describe your home briefly.
It's a removals lorry.
It was the biggest 7.5 ton, the biggest box we could get on a 7.5 ton license, basically.
Turns out actually it's an 8.5 ton, which so as long as you write circus on the side, it's technically legal. It's got a massive tail lift on the back, which collects hundreds of visitors.
Tig's got his own bed up some steps at the back. We've got a sort of breakfast bar affair. Sounds a bit fancy, it's not that fancy. But we can all sit round and eat together.
Do you mind if I take a photograph of it?
Not
totally,
sure.
Yeah. It was a bare aluminium box when we got it. 3 big doors on the side and 2 on the back.
We've got a kind of desky bit with a set of decks underneath which never come out because we cover the desk in computers. And
it's a production office, basically, this truck, most of the time.
Sofa area. We've got a crew cab, so we can sleep an extra person in there, which is great.
There's a little door in the front, so you can crawl through into the cab. So we have a guest bedroom.
And quite a lot of belly boxes. It's really, really tall, so we've got a chin-up bar as well, which is really cool. Got something to hang off.
We converted it between morning feeds. At 5 o'clock in the morning, Tiger would wake up, and he'd have a feed, and I'd change his nappy. Him and Shane would both go back to sleep, and then I would go out to the truck and work on it till about 9 when they both woke up again. And I'd have to have breakfast ready, because if you're breastfeeding and you go more than about 30 seconds late for a feed, then I've got 2 psychos to look after.
Poor Barnaby.
But yeah, me, Shana and Tig pretty much worked on it together.
And there
was a picture of Tig holding grinders at the age of 6 months old.
We went on tour in Parklife. Mia's mother and you was working with No Fit State. And we were on tour with Sarah and Ree, who had baby AJ and Tuscan. So that was really nice. We were all together. In fact, Sarah didn't have the baby until the end of that tour. But yeah.
Hang on. Fun. Okay. I'm going to stop that now, and I'm going to come back to
it
you,
goes
Barnes.
On.
Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry, Liz. There's a lot there.